Welcome to the Mothers You Know podcast. Thank you for being here. This is a place where we as women remember the spirit God gave us. We know how much we matter, and we believe all things are possible to them that believe on this Savior Jesus Christ. Here at Mothers You Know, we support the parents of young men in the Sons of Helaman and young women in the Daughters of Light programs at Life Changing Services. These programs provide therapeutic and mentoring services for youth struggling with depression, anxiety, self-harm, pornography, and any other unwanted or difficult behaviors. We offer parent support, training, and resources for mothers and fathers seeking the best way to support their loved one. Any mother is welcome to join in the Mothers Who Know classes, support, and training. You do not need to have a child in Life Changing Services to join in. We hope you'll join us. I am Karen Broadhead. I serve as the director of Mothers You Know, and I serve as the parent support specialist at Life Changing Services. I invite you to join with me and other mothers from across the country in our Warrior Mothers Who Know online support and training group. If you have a child struggling with pornography, depression, anxiety, or other difficult behaviors, you will find a safe and uplifting place to learn from other moms and learn principles and strategies to best support your loved one. Please go to motherswhoknow.org to find the online meeting details. We talk about difficult things here with the intent to shine light in dark corners and to eliminate isolation and shame. We are mothers with warrior hearts who are raising the warriors of this generation. We know we must learn to fight well for ourselves first. Then we can confidently support and cheer on our loved ones in the best ways.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Warrior Mothers Who Know. We have this awesome group of like-minded moms that come and meet. And throughout the month, we either have a therapist or a group leader or a parent support specialist, and lots of moms that also come and add their insights and their experience. And so we love having this forum. That's a really great place to, we like to call it a safe place for sensitive situations or tricky topics, or this is just a great place. So I've been here listening and learning for several years now, and my name is BJ, and I get to just be part of the Mothers Who Know team. So today we have Anelity Milne joining us, and she is the director of the Daughters of Light and Warrior Women of Light groups and programs through Life Changing Services. And Debbie Stransky, another one of our Mothers Who Know team mates, is going to be helping us do a Q&A with Anelity. So I'm going to just share a few things before we get started. And then it usually just over the first few minutes, a lot of people hop on and join us live. And then also we just want to say hello and welcome to you if you're listening. We have lots and lots of moms that listening is a better fit for their schedule. All right. So we are part of Mothers Who Know. Mothers Who Know is a Christ-centered team of mothers who the goal is to provide support, connection, training, and hope. And these are a few of the key resources we like to share to help provide that those things. This group, the Warrior Mothers Who Know group, the Mom Power Training, and Team Mom Power. And we'll tell you just a little bit more about those three if you're not familiar with those. As we wrap up today, we'll give you a little bit more of a highlight on those. We're sponsored by Life Changing Services, and we love to just always point people to them and just the gospel-centered resources that they provide. You can go to lifechangingservices.org to find out a little bit more about the programs that they offer, but they serve individuals, couples, youth, and families online across the U.S. and also in Canada. And lots of us have participated and have loved ones participated in their programs, and they've brought so much strength and hope and help. Like I mentioned today, Anelity Milne is joining us. Anelity joined us this morning for a special webinar series called Stay by the Tree, Messages of Hope. And that was the second of a three-part webinar series. And that's just always such a highlight. We do those a few times through the year and just bring in some special guests to help tackle some of the topics that are just top shelf and front of our minds here as mothers. And so we really appreciated the message that she shared. If you weren't able to hear that, there's still an opportunity to register at staybythetree.org. And if you register, you'll receive the recording of her message this morning towards the end of the week through an email. If you still would like to register, if you haven't been able to register for that, you can hold your phone up to that QR code and it'll just take you to the registration. We had Kim Day was our first presenter, and then this morning, Anility, and then next week we get to hear from Karen Broadhead. She's the founder and director of Mothers Who Know, and lots of you probably know her really well through our trainings and groups and podcasts and other things. We'd love for you to join us if you haven't yet. And you can also, like I mentioned, go to staybythetree.org to register there. Oh, wow, there's a great big QR code. That's wonderful. I think we'll go ahead and stop there, and then we'll share a little bit more information towards the end there. Let's see, Anility, you're just going everywhere today.
I am. I have a visitor from California here. So the thing is, if you come to Kentucky, I have to take you to get fried pickles. And I had to take her to go get fried pickles. Here I am in the truck.
I love it. This is so good. Well, Anility, alrighty.
I have some thoughts that I would like to talk about.
I would love to hear that. One of the things that keeps coming to my mind that I feel like people, it's hard to wrap your brain around, is the word recovery. And I consider myself in recovery. I'm a 12-stepper, and I experienced a pretty good level of recovery after a very major, what I would call, event that caused me to have, if you want to call it, a breakdown. So recovery is a broad term. When I use it, some people refer to it specifically of, oh, recovery, and you must be experiencing an addiction or something like that. And so my feelings about recovery are, ever I'm having any kind of behaviors that are unexplainable to me, I've got to figure out what's happening inside of my inner state and get it realigned. For me, that is the definition of recovery. When I get my inner state realigned, I'm constantly in the process of recovery. Does that?
Yeah. So I have a question. So when you say you're a 12-stepper, did the 12-stepper help you get realigned, and then you came to life-changing services and that kind of added to it, or how did that work?
So at the time that I was, okay, so my story is a kind of long story. I had an event, a few events that happened that caused me to have a mental health crisis. I was in therapy and did several other modalities and technologies for about 2 years. I was on medication, but through that experience caused a behavior in my life that was a coping behavior. And I was trying to figure out how to get on top of that behavior. So does that make sense?
Yeah. I just love this 12 steps also. And I think it was very divinely inspired.
Yeah, me too. I totally, yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's also evidence that God speaks to all people where they are to help them get into recovery or whatever it is they're struggling with, right?
Yeah.
I think it's evidence that we have a loving Heavenly Father and Savior who want all to have joy in this life to whatever level they can. So I love that you started out with, I'm a 12-stepper. And I just kind of thought, I wonder what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the 12-stepper lead you over here? Did you go?
Yeah. So they didn't have the women's program, because I invented the women's program at Life Changing Services.
That would answer that question.
Yeah. And I But what happened was I knew I needed to, I was trying to figure out the behavior. I was feeling fairly good by the time that I was recovering from that mental health crisis. And I just knew that there was that one more behavior that it emerged out of, I had to do this thing to help myself feel okay. And then it just became a compulsive thing. And so then I went to Life Changing Services to start working with them a little bit, because I was working with my children with other things. And I was like, oh, I love these principles. I want to figure out how to, you know, use them so that I can figure out my behavior. So we didn't have Eternal Warriors. We didn't have anything other than Sons of Helaman, literally, when I started. And so when I was helping Maurice write his book and systematize his Sons of Helaman, I just was like ravenous to have it for me. And I started working all of the principles of Eternal Warriors, all the things that I had been writing for Maurice and putting together in the book and from his podcast, from his blogs and things like that. I wasn't the only one working on it, but I was really super embracing the principles. And then I realized I needed to have a group to hold me accountable, and there was nothing for me. This is literally why we have Daughters of Light and Warrior Women of Light and Eternal Warriors and Mothers Who Know. It's literally why we have it, because I had a need and we didn't have it. So I was trying to invent it. So in the meantime, I went to the 12 step because I was like, I don't have any other way, better place to go.
Anality, what I hear you saying, see how I got that from the last one?
Yeah, you're so good.
But I'm going to completely use all different words because it's what I heard you say. But while we were talking and I commented on the 12 step program being divinely orientated. It was revelation because there was a need, right? And these, I think it was three men, wanted recovery so bad. And so they discovered that in order to have recovery, it was revealed to them that they needed a higher power. That's what they call it.
Yeah. Dr. Bob and Bill W. Yeah.
Okay. So there's two guys.
Well, okay. But you're close because there's another guy that kind of joined them. Yeah. But actually, it's a very interesting story because Dr. Bob actually went to Germany to be treated because of his alcoholism, to be treated by Carl Jung. And Carl Jung was the one who told him to go back to the United States and go to his local church and just do everything they tell him to do. And that's how the 12-step emerged.
Even that's even more beautiful to explain that because of the journey. And so what I was hearing you tell us was your journey and how you actually had a need, right? And you needed to feel better and you didn't know how that need was going to be met, but you were led down a path that led you into different steps also, working with Maurice and the 12 steps and all of that, but led to this beautiful program that's helping so many. So to me, what I am hearing in that is that, again, our Heavenly Father and the Lord work in mysterious ways, but they also saw the need. They saw the need of you, their beautiful daughter that they love so much, and the need of so many that feel the same way and would have the need at that time and in the future. So I love stories like that. It's really beautiful.
And I have clients who do both 12-step and all the principles of Men of Moroni or Daughters of Light, Warrior Women of Light, because they're very good together. The one thing that 12-step doesn't nail is really how to identify the enemy. And to me, it was a game changer.
Total game changer. I agree. Yeah. I think the other thing that's powerful is when people are in crises and really want to get better, whether it's addiction, they're going to probably die, go in recovery, or they're going to go to jail. It's one of those things. I think that's one reason why those meetings are so powerful, because they literally are fighting for their lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think oftentimes when we go into any group or wanting to feel better, however we want to say it, right?
Yeah.
We absolutely are fighting, and we can identify why we fight. Well, we fight because we want to feel better. And oftentimes we say we fight because we fight for our God and for our families and for our kids. And we know why we're fighting, but it becomes a veracity is often a word that's used in the fight. But I think it also helps us realize that and remember what, like what you're saying, we're fighting, I'm going to add to it, in a war that existed long before we came here.
The war
is still going on. And I love and agree with you 1,000% that we have to learn to discover who the enemy is and identify him. I'm passionate about that because when we learn it and we're not afraid to say it, we're able to see it and have the power of discernment even more so.
Yep. And this is something the enemy knows. He knows that when you give it a name, it is, you're able to formulate something around it, right? If it's just a vague idea of, oh, there's these things that are going on inside of my head and there's all this turmoil inside, but I don't have a name for any of it.
So true. Know,
there's a scientist, Lavoisier, he says 90% of solving a problem is giving it a name.
I so agree. And I'm going to just remind the ladies, if you have a question, please raise your hand and send it in. I do have a couple of questions that we'll
fried
get into.
Fried pickles.
It. Oh, man, don't we wish we were trying a fried pickle? Were you sitting in a drive-thru?
No. My friend went into the restaurant for me.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, please send in the questions and interrupt at any time. I do have some that I have previously and that have come up. But going along with what you just said, I want to just relay a little story if I can. My niece passed away. She's 39 years, 8 months and 4 days, suddenly. And it's on my husband's side, but his family are not members of the church. And we went in to visit his brother and his sister-in-law, it was their daughter that had passed away. Of course, anyone, no matter where you come from, we aren't, as parents, not equipped or ready to bury a child. And it is tragic, no doubt about it.
Wow.
It's even more tragic when you don't understand that death is part of life and that it's temporary and that we will see them again. When you don't have that, imagine what we saw when we walked into their little house was even more severe. But going along with what we were saying is his brother and his sister-in-law, they grabbed us and they were just screaming, I want my baby back. I want my baby back. When just this spirit broken, which is such a louder cry. It's just the pain is just unquenchable, is what it just sounded like. And I won't go into all the details, but it was such a tender moment to be able to just say, can you just sit right here on this couch and let the spirit speak through me at the time? And I was just a vessel. I know it because I can't even repeat eloquently what was said. But it was, in a nutshell, the plan of salvation that she lives, her body dies and her spirit lives, and that she existed before she came here. She still exists. She'll be reunited with her body. And the point I want to make is these parents, of course, were like a wilted flower about to die, wanting to die more than anything. And as water was just poured over that flower, I didn't say they were healed, but the flower started to perk up and see hope again. And seeing hope come back that their child wasn't dead was amazing. It was palatable. So I think, like, recovery, no matter what it is we're going through, it can become palatable. It brings life back into us. It's like watering that flower, that plant.
Yeah. So I use the word recovery a lot more broad than most people do, because I just feel in my personal experience, it was a very broad thing.
Yeah. Okay. As questions come in, I'll pose them. Please interrupt at any moment, because if you're here present, we want to hear right from you. But oh, BJ, look at BJ right there with her little hand raised. BJ, you just go for it, sister.
I usually think I can ask a question. I do too much talking already, but I would love to ask a question, Anelody. You talked about when you presented this morning for the webinar, you talked about four common lies. Maybe it was that women hear, was that kind of,
or I would say, I don't know for men. Honestly, I have to tell you, I absolutely believe there's a difference in the genders and the way that our brains work, but I can't say specifically only for women, but I know absolutely for women, there are those four common lies. And I just have to say, anytime I've ever talked to anybody about what the lies they're hearing in their head, I can put them in one of those categories.
I noticed that for myself this morning.
Oh, BJ,
and so I'm going to be brave and say one of those lies that I've just been sitting with over the past few years.
Okay.
And so I don't know if I have a question, but I'm hoping you can help me think about it. So I'm 52 or 3, right around there. I can't remember which. but I am aging like I'm supposed to age. And I'm seeing all these wrinkles and these lines on my lips and hair growing out of my ears and all the stuff, my hair thinning. I consider myself just a normal person that like everyone else, but every time I look in the mirror, I zero in on you're old and I think and you're getting older and you're getting uglier and you're getting, I go along with my day and I feel fine and it's not my whole life, but it's bugging me and it keeps, and I don't want that to be something that's consuming me. One of the lies you said was there's something wrong with my body and I want to figure that out better. So that's not a question, but I'm going to have you come up with.
Oh, BJ, you are so vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's a thing, right? That's wow. Who wants to admit that's going on in their head? Because honestly, how irrational is that? Of course, you're getting older. Of course, your skin's going to start looking thinner. You're going to have wrinkles. Yeah. And so what I'm hearing you say is, what can I do to help my mind? So this is the thing that I hate about what you just said. I don't hate you, and I don't hate that you're having this experience. I just hate Satan for doing it. He attacks you first thing in the morning when you get up to look in the mirror. What an asshole! Can you not have one moment of peace? Yeah, I actually think that's the answer right there, BJ. What I just did. It's the indignation that he doesn't even have a body. He's freaking jealous of you. You don't even have a body to age, you stinker. You're just jealous that I have one. And I'm more powerful than you. That's how you want to approach this, right? Because it's the very best way. And you know what? We have beautiful creams and makeups and surgeries and fillers. You know what? I have nothing against any of those things. I just think it's okay for you to experience what you're experiencing and call the enemy out.
I love that. And I just notice how there is a little bit of truth in all the lies, right?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Exactly. I am aging. And those are wrinkles. And then the personal assault. To every lie. Yeah. But there's always a personal attack included with you're ugly. And I appreciate just those little, just what you've shared, but I want to embrace that and love that and love me as I do it.
I have to tell you that I learned this from Maurice and he's such a great example to me. When the enemy is attacking, you just have to stop him. You don't even have to think about it. It's an attack. You don't have to examine it. You don't have to say, Why is he doing that to me? It's not fair. No, we don't know. Literally, you don't go up to your enemy and say, why do you want to throw that sword at me? No, he's throwing the sword. You don't have time. Put up your defenses. Yeah.
He is a jerk to get it first thing in the morning, though. You're barely even awake and you're just trying to get the sleep out of your eyes, and he just comes in and slaps you across the face. That is a jerk. Gerbil.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've watched Maurice go through just so much building his business. And I believe that I'm going to say this because I don't want it to be true, but Satan's good at matching the amount of resistance against your goodness. You're going to add this much goodness to the world. He's going to give you that much resistance. So you know what? The truth is, if I just push a little bit, I'm not going to get a whole lot, right? Hopefully. But the truth is, as I push and get more, I actually get stronger. Don't love that if I put myself out there, he's going to attack me more, but I feel like I am getting stronger as I understand it. Right. The book Outwitting the Devil really identifies this in a great way. He teaches, Napoleon Hill has an amazing way of describing those two forces coming together, the goodness. And I will tell you, Napoleon Hill, he wrote the book Outwitting the Devil, and he's like, you can't print this while I'm alive, otherwise my attack will be really bad.
Oh,
yeah,
that's such a good answer.
Yeah.
BJ, you're clearly very shiny and beautiful. That's why you get a smack straight away.
Exactly. That's my point. That was exactly my point.
Mm-hmm. Little shiny girl, you. Well, you're beautiful. Thank you so much, BJ, for the question. And do you have more to say? I saw you.
Just thanks for the thoughts on that. And just, I appreciate you bringing that up this morning. Those four common lies. We're not enough. We're all alone. We're too weak. And there's something wrong with my body. Anyway, but just if you didn't hear that, I'd love to have you listen later. If you sign up, staybbythetree.org, Debbie will send you out the recording the end of the week, and then you'll find it on our podcast later. So
but thank BJ, you. Maybe you could put those four things in the chat right here. So those ladies can write down those lies. And then look what we have going on. We have great warrior women here lining up. Aurora.
Mine is to build on what BJ said, actually, because I know that you work with the daughters in Elodie, and I cannot get my daughter to see that she has a problem, even though it's so blatant and it's just getting worse. And here's the problem. In seventh grade, so she's a sophomore now. In seventh grade, I took her to a counselor that told her she doesn't need counseling. She kicked me literally. She wouldn't allow me even in the counseling sessions. And this was a really bad experience for me. And she told her, okay, you don't think you need counseling? You're right. You don't. And she sent her away. And I was beside myself. It was right after COVID, and my daughter has severe anxiety and some major issues with she couldn't go in public and things. Anyway, so I was like, fine, I guess if the counselor's not going to help you, it's all on me. But then I hear you and Elodie, I'm pretty sure it was you that just talks about we have to be the moms. We can't be the counselors too. And I've been trying to do it for a long time, and it's just hitting the head where I just feel like she's in complete denial, and I'm seeing it go into a dangerous place in my mind. And maybe it is just in my head, but I don't even know how to get her to acknowledge that she has a problem. So any thoughts on that?
Wow.
And it's body image. So that's why, like what BJ said, she's a ballerina, just so you know, that pretty much says it all. She is an amazing ballerina, but she's getting ready to go into surgery. So the other thing that scares me, she uses a lot of anxiety techniques in her own mind. When she does her ballet, that's how she deals with a lot of anxiety. And we're going to be out of ballet for 12 weeks, probably. And it is like scaring me to death.
Wow. So I don't love the dance culture. It's super body focused, right?
Yeah.
So she does have to have.
Body dysmorphia is like almost 100% what it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So girls who are in the dance culture have to really figure out how to have a good sense of reality, because one of my clients who's a ballerina who's very good, she says she's looking in the mirror all day long at her body, scrutinizing it or letting Satan scrutinize it. Yeah. And then she sees all the other girls in the mirrors. And then she, all the comparison that goes on, oh, it's bad in the head. So, Aurora, is your question, how do I get my daughter to engage in some
kind of... kind of a point of awareness where she needs help, because I've done a lot of interesting things to try and help her. I don't know if any of them have been successful. She's very much a control OCD because she controls everything in her life that she can't. She controls mm-hmm. her food, and in mostly a healthy way, because at least she eats. I'll just say that is a huge thing for teenagers nowadays. And she eats a lot because we 12-step program, I'm in a 12-step program for food. So she has a food plan and food program for that. And that helps her, but it doesn't help up here as much because she won't do the writing and literature that goes along with 12-stepping. And she's just, it's all up here. So she controls her time, her schedule. But when anything's out of that realm of control, which is where her life is heading with this surgery. And I'm like, I don't even know how to help her because she's already to such a point of where she can't see herself. And my son is in program. So we do usually identify Satan. I loved what you went through with BJ, because that is a thing I can go through with her. She does understand that. And that Satan is the number one enemy. But I just don't think she applies it to herself. She's, oh, that's a porn problem. But a woman, and I didn't hear all the lies, so I'm glad they got put in the chat. I guess I can go through the lies with her, but I don't know. I guess I just don't know how to handle body dysmorphia and getting to awareness where she's, this is something I need to do, because she was told she's fine by this counselor. She's, I don't need help. I don't need counseling. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
She probably has a very strong mind.
Oh, yes.
And it comes from a lot of really good dancers. It's because they have strong minds because of their athletics, right? But what I think I'm hearing, were you in the morning session?
I tried really hard. I got in just at the end, the last 20 minutes.
So at the beginning of the session, I talked about holding the tension between anxiety and faith. And there's a scripture that I shared in that. And I think what I'm hearing you say is, man, I'm super anxious about this for her. And I need to know, how do I hold on to faith that things are going to work out with her and that she's going to be able to get the help she needs to. You have a lot of resources and you have a lot of knowledge. When she's ready, she'll come and ask for it. The best thing for you to say to let her know is, I'm here. I have resources. If you need help, I need to let you know, you don't have to do this alone.
Perfect. Thank you.
Welcome.
When we are so worried about our kids and we just want to step in and save, right? And we feel like we're responsible to save, I think, as moms, but we're not. That's the savior. It's just so hard to let go a little bit. We get fear Satan. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Hey, you're on deck.
I just wanted to add exactly to what BJ said. BJ, my next birthday, I'll be 80. That's scary. It's really scary. But the most important lessons, most of the most important lessons I've learned in my life have been in the last 20, 30, 10, 5 years, maybe the last 5 years. The best is yet to come. And I think as President Nelson says, we have a lot of things to take care of ourselves before we graduate to the other side. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm cramming for the final exam. So it never gets old, and it's always, to me, that.
And it's never too late to do your own work, right?
Never. Never.
Man alive, I love that you just said that. I wished I could have more 79-year-olds come into my group and saying, oh, look at me, I'm going to do my work now.
Beautiful. And I also will say that Nancy comes in and she reaches up. We see her do that. And she reaches out and helps all of us. I loved hearing that. I'd never heard that before this morning. And it's your motto, Anality? Reach up.
It's one of our skills that we teach.
Uh-huh.
We teach the Nini Fifi, notice it, name it, feel it, flip it, find it. Reach up, reach out is another one of our skills. So anytime anyone's struggling, they'll put in the group chat, I'm reaching out. And it's like a cue.
Okay.
People start joining in. Okay, what's going on? Tell me what's going on in your head. What's happening inside there? Yeah. And then people in their group chat, the thing is the group chat's so beautiful because that's where most of the healing happens. They come to group once a week, but they're always in contact with each other throughout the week. And someone will post in the group chat, I'm doing a reach up right now. This is what happened. I was really blah, blah, blah. This happened. And then I just got on my knees and I started to lift up my voice and I noticed this happened. They're testifying to each other. So it's one of those, it's like a skill thing that we just talked about.
Yeah, no, so I totally heard it wrong because I love what you just said. So saying, say it again, it's reach up and reach out. So reach up is we're reaching up to God and reach out is you're reaching out for help to others. And I thought it was reach out, go serve. So it makes you feel
better. No.
Reach up, reach out.
Yeah, we call it the vertical, the horizontal axis. Access the power from the horizontal and from the vertical.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I play cards with a lady that's 103 and a half. And I've played cards with her for the last 10 years. And it happened on an accident. But then it's time.
That's so awesome, Debbie.
As a minister, it was a relief, or a visiting teacher at the time. I went over there and I thought, well, let's play cards with her, you know, because that's what she likes to do. And she goes, let's do this every week. And I was like, heavens, no, I'm not going to do this every week. Anyway, 10 years later, and a couple things that she's taught me is that she does that. She goes, when I say my prayer, I raise my hand up like this because it reminds me that I'm reaching up to God. So that this was my visual when Annelie was talking about reaching up. And then I did the reach out as a service because that sweet lady, 103 right now, she'll still tell stories, but she used to just tell the most profound stories. Her testimony is so strong. And it became where at first I thought I was doing the service for her. And it became when I sat across and played cards where she would tell such incredible stories of her faith and her journey that I just felt like it was sacred to sit across the table and play cards with her. So you're a baby. She's 103. Yeah, a long time to go, but we also we never stop learning from each other. And what a blessing she's been in my life, no matter what age. I thought it was reach out to everyone else, but reach out because we can get the help too. Are you reaching up right there?
No, I'm reaching out.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that from my point of view, there's no one in my immediate family of women who have reached this age. Oh. So for that, I'm extremely grateful. They all passed away before the age of 79. Uh-huh. My mother, my grandmothers, all of the above.
Are you a Southerner?
I am.
Oh, I heard it.
I'm a Texan. I live in Texas.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Y'all got there.
I love it. Okay, we have our sweet.
Okay, I am loving everything. And Melody, thank you so much for being here. BJ, I just have to say, literally, if I didn't know you and knew what an incredibly wise, wonderful woman you are, I would think you were 25 years old just from looking at you. So, Satan's evil. And it reminded me of, I loved what Annelie shared about what Maurice said. And then something else I remembered Maurice said is, what kind of Satan would do that? And it's a normal one, a normal Satan. So.
What kind of Satan would do that?
But I think we could all, I'm going to guess that every single woman on here is going to agree with me that if BJ is feeling this, every single one of us is feeling a little bit better about ourselves.
Right? That's like the power of vulnerability right there.
Yes, for sure. So thank you, BJ. Thank you, Annelie.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So in case you all didn't know, Jen is the facilitator of our retreat this year. And if you don't know who she is, she's got her hand raised and she's going to talk next. And if you haven't signed up for the retreat, sign up and come with us. Okay, Jen.
That's right. Thanks, Deb. Hey, I have just loved, Anality, your lesson before this and the comments made. And I just loved that, how I feel like when you were talking about how it learning as women to stand in our truth in a loving, I feel like this is such an arena that you guys are so good at helping us to know how to stand as women in appropriate and God-given ways, but not in the, and so I've been thinking about it a lot, and I saw the movie Cabrini. I don't know if any of you have seen this movie, but oh my gosh, it's this amazing movie. This Italian sweet nun mother comes to America in the 1890s. Anyway, she just starts to want to do orphanages and hospitals and meets with so much resistance. And at one point in the movie, the man, the governor or the mayor of the place of New York says to her, "It's too bad you weren't born a man because you would have made such a good man," right? And she just calmly thinks and she looks out and says,
"But the Cabrini, it was a really great movie, and it goes through all this adversity. She was pushed back at every turn, and she just kept showing up over and over. And her whole thing was to help the orphans, the kids who had been sent here to America and were living in the street. And she created a hospital, and people, here comes Jen, I think, burned it down. And it just was really an incredible story. Is that Jen coming in down there?
Well, sorry.
There she is. So, okay, so I finished telling about it, but you picked back right up where you left off, Jen.
Just how she, I just loved how she just said, oh, they could never do what we do. And just this, and I just feel like that is a really, it is a, just seeing her story, it was amazing. And how she just hit all these barriers all the time, but she just stood in her truth and in such inspiring ways. And I feel like that is something we all are striving to have to learn or trying to learn. And so I just really appreciate the examples and the ways that you teach women to do that, because I think it really is a tricky thing, because I don't want to be defiant. I don't want to be feminist, but I want to stand in my truth and do what the Lord wants me to do. And so I just feel like navigating that is tricky as a woman. And I just would love to hear any more you insights you have, Anality, because I really love Christ-centered women that are finding that place in the world and guiding, helping the rest of us.
I'm really glad that you brought that up. I feel like the LDS faith has been like forerunners for women, honestly. The whole, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Relief Society led by Liza R. Snow, when she was leading it, they were a force to be reckoned with. You did not mess with them. They collected their own dues. They had some serious storages of things that were going to help all the poor. And when they were like in their formation, they were a superpower. And you have to know I'm an Eliza R. Snow lover. I adore her. There are very few people in the world I can say I adore as much as I adore her. She stood up to men and said, "Look, no, this is what we're doing." And they listened to her. And this was in the 1850s when women didn't have any rights. The reason why Brigham Young asked, I can't remember the lady, you guys probably know, he asked two women to go to medical school and the church paid for it. They sent them back east and went to medical school so that they could be doctors. And they were like the first of women ever anywhere. The reason why they did that is because Liza R. Snow says, no, we have a voice, we're powerful, and we're going to stand where we can make a difference. Yeah. She was a warrioress if I've ever heard of one. And I'm so grateful for our heritage.
It is interesting that the attack also, like what you were saying earlier, even on the church with women, is that we don't honor women, that we put them in the shadows, that they don't have a voice, that it's a patriarchal church.
I just have to say, it's the tension all the time. It's the tension all the time that we have to constantly be navigating. I say it's the tension between soft and hard, the tension between what is true and what is not true. It's the tension between men and women. It's the constant having to navigate that. So to some degree, sometimes it leans to one direction, one side a little bit. And I think that's been our church history. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But women of God know what's happening. They just get inspired. And the church is inspired. So we're going to hear it. We're going to get the voice, right? We're going to pull the tension back.
For sure. And Elodie, one thing that I was wondering is you said something earlier about the maze. Did I hear it right?
Yeah.
What is the maze?
We call it the maze of darkness. And it's one of the principles we teach in Warrior Women and Daughters of Light. And I wanted to spend some time on it today. So what happens when we don't challenge those initial lies, those initial four lies? Things start getting dark.
Hmm.
And the filing cabinet of the brain is trying to make sense of the messages. And so there might be a message, something like, you're too weak. Yeah, I'm too weak. So therefore, and then a therefore comes. And when the therefore comes from the lie, things get even darker. So you're too weak in this thing. You're not strong enough. Therefore, don't show up in powerful ways. Be a carpet. Oh, I just need to be agreeable and go along to get along. I can't make waves. Yeah, because I'm too weak. I'm not strong enough to do this thing. And so the therefore leads into more darkness, which leads into more, less ability for the brain to be fully accessed. The brain, where we do our best work is when our limbic system and our prefrontal cortex, where our reasoning brain meet. They need that tension. They need to have that passion, that emotion that comes from the limbic system and the decision-making power and the level-headedness. They have to meet. And if it's all limbic, all emotional, when we believe all these lies, it gets super emotional, super dysregulated. So we can't show up powerfully. It's hard. It's super hard. We're sitting in our garden sulking because we can't get out. Another one of the lies would be, you're so bad. You're never going to be good enough. And then the interpretation of that is, yeah, you're not lovable or you're not worthy. And as soon as that interpretation starts getting darker and darker, we get deeper, deeper lost in this maze. And then again, we lose access to the prefrontal cortex energy. And then our behaviors start showing up. Like we're so dark in the maze that we start becoming perfectionistic or committing to so many things that we become overwhelmed because we have to overachieve, or we just sit around and do nothing because we're so paralyzed.
Yeah, you're saying that I have so many scenarios going through my head where I identify exactly with what you're saying.
We all do.
Yeah. That's why it's a thing. Why it's a thing. I guess we now know the maze. We didn't know it was the maze. Yeah, probably the same thing as like what Kim Davis likes to call smoke and mirrors. A little bit different.
It's similar. They're similar kind of things. Yeah. Smoke and mirrors is a lot about deception and how to, and that things appear to be something that they're not. It's the deception that we get into the darkness. We always say that if you get too far deep into the maze, you yourself. So this goes back to the 12-step thing. Dr. Bob knew he couldn't do it by himself. He knew he had to have help. He knew he had to do a reach up. So when we say the maze only has one entrance, it has no other way to get out. And the entrance is the lies. So if you're willing to combat the lies and to really nail the lies, then you won't get stuck in the maze. But it doesn't have an exit. It's the kind of maze that only has one way in. and no way out. So you either combat the lies or you have to reach up and reach out to get help. Someone has to pull you up over the wall of the maze.
That is such a good visual. I love it. I was knee deep in the maze on Sunday. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I visited the maze.
I was knee deep in the darkness.
I had smoke and mirrors, the maze. I was stuck right in it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a temptation.
What's so good about learning and putting, for me, because I am so visual, when you put it in a visual way and I see it, it helps me identify it and helps me fight better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we do have to be protective of those four lies, though, because if we hear ourselves in our head in any way, hearing any part of one of those four lies, we know we're getting what we call slapped into the maze.
Oh, BJ just put in the chat the four lies. I hope everyone takes a screenshot of it and we just are able to go through it so that when we're getting into the maze or the smoke and mirrors, we can say, what lie are we believing, and get to. We always know the truth tool or the Nini Fifi, and you have the extra F inside there.
I will tell you that identifying the lie isn't as easy as we think it might be. I believe that there are many different types of ways to access it. You can ask yourself, what's the lie? Or you can ask yourself, if I were believing this thing or behaving this thing, can I imagine what the lie might be? So that kind of puts us in a place of inspiration or creativity, which is what we need, because we may not be able to, that lie is not in my head. Could you imagine what would be then? Mm. What are the possibilities? The other thing is we know for sure, it's science that tells us that our bodies, down inside of our bodies, are just a reflection of what's happening up here, because all the messages are coming down from the spinal cord, from the limbic system. So if we notice, man, I got some stomach ache going on here. I got some butterflies in my stomach, or I got some serious tightness in my chest, or I'm really feeling it in my shoulders. You can just go into your shoulders and say, what are you trying to tell me? What's going on right here? Oh, you're feeling overwhelmed. Okay. And staying curious. What's that about? Oh, okay. You have this assignment and this assignment. You feel like they're clashing. What's the lie under that? The lie is, I'm all alone. I'm not going to get help. I have to do it all by myself. Okay. Actually, we don't have to do it all by ourselves. This overwhelm. You know what? Let's do a reach out. How are you going to get help with all this overwhelm? Oh, I have a friend, or I have a husband, or I have a therapist, or I have a, okay. Mm. Reach out to that person. See what resources they have for you. Can they help? I have a ministering sister. I have a bishop.
Melody, that is so good. We just really appreciate you today. You've spent a lot of time nurturing and caring for us. And we love it. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I thought maybe you guys would be sick of me by now, but.
No. I feel like we sat and had fried pickles with you.
Yes, you did.
I definitely want to try one now.
Okay. I always tell people I don't live very far. It's just Kentucky. Come and visit me. I'll take you to the river and have fried pickles.
Okay. Thank you
so
much.
That goes for you.
Okay. Maybe we'll just make it a group trip.
sounds like a great idea.
All right. You have any final words before you leave us?
I don't. I feel like BJ's vulnerability was like the highlight of the day.
Yeah. Thank you so much, BJ.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies.
All right. Thanks.
Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies. Now it's time for our takeaways. And because I didn't know what Anality was going to talk about today, but I knew the topic. I thought that it's just 2 minutes. If you would indulge, it's President Nelson at the Relief Society thing on Sunday. And I just did some of his quotes, not the whole thing, but they're just so powerful. And what I loved about it is I think it helps no matter what we're going through and struggling with, it helps center us back to our true identity. and our worth as women. I just love those words so much. And it was really quickly done. But I think every single word he said is so powerful. And I love how it brings us to our identity. And I thought if you all were willing, if something's weighing on your heart, share it and let's reach out to each other and help each other for sure. But I'm just wondering if we also could share, like, how does that feel? And what were you thinking? What were your thoughts as you were being reminded as to who you really are? And I hope we can just have a little talk about it, a little discussion. I thought that would be good. So what are your thoughts? Okay, we don't have to share thoughts, but if there have anything on your sweetheart, I hope that you'll weigh in and let us help, just help navigate anything that you're going through. Christine.
So I loved it when he said that we'll know exactly what we need to do and where we need to be that day, because I feel like as moms, there's always a million different things and they're all good. That was such a blessing when he said that if we do what he's saying, we will have that extra help to know exactly what it is that we need to be doing and when and where. And so I really appreciated that. Also, another takeaway from Anelody, it was actually when Jen was saying something, but Anelody, like it was all tied in together. It was, I put it in the chat, a quote from Sister J. Annette Dennis from Sunday's Relief Society thing. And I just loved what she said so much, because I don't know if you all remember, years ago, there was this big movement of women who they called themselves ordained women, and they had a lot of frustrations and things that they were protesting. And I remember at the time thinking, my heart breaks for these women because they're so focused on what they think they don't have that they don't realize what they do have. And I really believed that what they were complaining about not having was something they could have if they would just see it and receive it. But anyway, I felt like Sister Dennis validated that for me. And I won't read her whole quote because it's pretty long, but it is really good. But just the part that where she said she was talking about how in other churches, there are some female priests or pastors, but very few relative to the number of women in their congregations who receive that authority that their church gives them. But by contrast, all the women 18 years and older in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who choose a covenant relationship with God in the house of the Lord are endowed with priesthood power directly from God. As we serve in whatever calling or assignment, including ministering assignments, we are given priesthood authority to carry out those responsibilities. And then she said, my dear sisters, you belong to a church which offers all its women priesthood power and authority from God. Nevertheless, just as he tried to do with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with the tree of life, the adversary wants to focus our attention on what we have not been given and blind us to all that we have been given. Sisters, generations coming after us will be influenced by the choices we are making now. Let us choose a deeply connected covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ so that we can invite their power, their strength, and their relief more fully into our lives. And one more thing she said that wasn't in this, just the part I read, but it was in what I posted in the chat. She talked about when she was a mission with her husband, mission leader, they were mission leaders that the elder Dallin H. Oaks, President Oaks, I think it was elder back then, but doesn't matter. He talked about women, how women have so much more power from the priesthood than they realize. And anyway, I just, there was something Jen said that just connected that really well for me. So I just, again, can't thank all you ladies enough. It's such a wonderful blessing to have all your uplifting, inspiring awesomeness. So thanks.
Thank you. I also just think that what we learned from Anelody earlier talking to BJ and all of us, that the equal, right? The tension that's going to go on. And when we grow and get stronger, he's going to come stronger at us. And those words from President Nelson also, and all of the women and what said too, it was so validating into our true identity. But if really our voices and us learning to remember who we are and to stand up and have those powers of discernment and voice and to be able to declare truth. And if we don't do it, the world will never recover. Those are big words. Of course, it would make sense then that he would attack each one individually, even smack them straight in the face right when they first wake up, like cute BJ, and I'm sure all of us get smacked. But as the group of women, of members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we're going to get smacked. Of course, it's going to be also that church. That church is a patriarchal system. The women have no voice and they're downtrodden and they're shadows and all the things that we can hear the world say about us, but we know they are not true. And the Lord has such faith in each of us to stand up and to be counted and to use our voices. And I love how our prophet reminds us of the importance of our voices, because I get smacked a lot, especially at church. I'm married to a non-member and my kids are blah, 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 on and on. And I just think, what in the world? But I love it. I loved it so much. And now we have BJ back on deck.
Thanks, Debbie. Thank you for putting that together. Just some of President Nelson's words and what shared as well. And just, we were able to gather with our ladies in our ward just at our Relief Society President's home, and there were about 20 of us there. We weren't sure whether we should do that. We thought, I don't know if anyone's going to come. But anyway, we thought whoever does come, it will be great. And my mom has always been involved in this. She was just loving it. She was up at camp. She was on the floor. She was in the river. She was doing the pranks. She loved it. And when she gets released from Young Women's, she just would be so sad, so sad. And she didn't want to go to the R. She called it the Rotten Relief Society. And my mom was the queen of providing relief. She was just so good at that. But she just had such a love for the young woman. It was hard for her to go over there. And as it's just dawned on me over the past few months, just what it is that we get to be a part of an organization that their main goal is to provide relief. That's even their name, Relief Society. I can think of all these amazing, important people that do amazing things, but the people that make a difference in my life are the people that are, have their heads up to that. Somebody that'll let my 18-year-old come over and sit on their porch when he won't talk to us. Somebody that'll forgive me when I did a whoopsie and said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing. And they send me a text back in 5 seconds that said, don't think about it again. I love you and you're allowed to be a human. And it doesn't have to be a grand relief going because someone's in dire straits, but we can provide that. And as we have our ministering opportunities, I like to call them, instead of assignments, I have resisted the word assignment because I feel like, oh, it's so disingenuous. I don't want to be assigned. And I was doing all of that thing. And then I thought, well, all of us are asked. The bishop is asked or assigned. My kid that just went on a mission was asked. That doesn't mean he can't be prompted and inspired in with the people in Australia because he was assigned to go there. Let's not resist that opportunity to minister, have this genius way of having everyone looked out for. It's genius, and God can work right in there. Let's take a look at our ladies and let's see where we can be part of this relief there and then wherever else the Spirit directs. But I've loved that you brought that up, Debbie. And will you please put that in the Mothers Who Know Group Me so we can take a peek at it again? And if you're not part of the Group Me yet, I put the link in the chat. You just click that link and join us on that Group Me. It's just a great way to keep up on everything and ask questions and share things. So thank you so much, Debbie.
Yeah, and speaking of ministering, it is such a divine miraculous. I'm sure I said that incorrectly, but it's miraculous. That program is miraculous. But it, of course, it's going to be like now it's not authentic because I'm assigned, and so I'm not going to go visit that sister. And honestly, it makes me really nervous. I get really anxious to show up at someone's door. I get anxious making a casserole and taking it to their house. Even if I'm asked to, I'm anxious to do it the whole time. But now that I'm in the Relief Society, I'm asked to go into everyone's home once a year. Oh my gosh, the people aren't miserable at all. It's the thought of doing it. And it's not the thought of, I'm excited to go meet with the sisters. It's the process of feeling like, yeah, when I make the appointment, they're going to be like, I have a lot going on in my life. And now you want to set your sorry self over here and I have to do one more thing on my checklist. So sometimes I get creative. Can I go for a walk with you? And then I think they're like, I have friends I walk with and you're like not one of them. It's horrible. So we know who that is as I'm saying it out loud, but I'm telling you those are the lies that I am convinced are very true. And so when I go up to meet with any sister, and it could be even someone that I actually do know pretty well, it's like almost like I want to vomit, honestly. I get so nervous. And in every single time when I'm there, I fall in love with that person more. And I leave being so thankful that I got to meet with them. I honestly don't know what they think about me when I leave, but I can feel the spirit when I'm there. So I leave being okay that I showed up. I loved them. I feel love for them. I know the spirit was there. And so all is well. But the moral of the story is Satan is at every single turn and in this miraculous organization so that every sister can be met. He is right there attacking in every turn, every single turn. So anyway, I love that you brought that up too, BJ. And I saw her put her hand up and then she put it down. But I'm wondering, do you still have something to say?
I had a couple of things to say.
Oh, good. One,
first of all, when Utah was first, I went to enough Daughters of the Utah Pioneers as not a member, but an add-on because I didn't have direct ancestors. But I went to so many lessons where really in the first years of Utah, it was more of a matriarchy than a patriarchy because the patriarch was not home. He was here, there, and yonder all the time. And in my opinion, that's why Utah women are so strong, because they have that matriarchy background that makes them know how to fight and know who to fight. Anyway, now that. I've forgotten the second thing.
Oh.
What were you just talking about, Quick?
We were talking about ministering and the miraculous organization that is.
It's gone. Sorry. But that was the important one that I thought that we just need to, we are who we are. We are who God sent us down here to be. And we need to be that. We need to try to be that, even if it takes us this many years.
And even if we want to vomit while we're doing it?
Even if we want to vomit while we do it. But I literally have thought about doing that occasionally. But yeah. Try not to do it on them.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, oh. But anyway, thank you for sharing. I just love meeting with all of you women and hearing your insights and what you're traveling through and your strength. I'm wondering also, I think I would assume, but it's an assumption. I would guess it though, that in probably all of our patriarchal blessings, it talks about the privilege it would be born to be alive at this time. And if it doesn't say that, we have a prophet that tells us that it's an honor and a blessing to be alive at this time. But even with that, we have a world that is in so much chaos, right? So if we get stuck in looking at the chaos, we go to fear and we can become paralyzed, right? But when we focus right back on Christ and the tools that we're learning to combat Satan and to recognize Satan, really, it is such a privilege to be alive at this time, right? To be trusted women in the gospel of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to be able to be strong enough to have that peace and to stand as a witness and to see and combat Satan where he's throwing every fiery dart he can. And we're preparing the world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's phenomenal. And when we are in our whole brain and in the front lobe and all of the words that we want to say and we can feel the Spirit, man, what a blessing it is. And even what a blessing it is to be right here, to be able to reach out. I love what she said, reach up and then reach out with each other and be a support system and just link arms. Those are BJ words, link arms and in the trenches and bumping and all of the things that she says that are so cute. Anyway, it's beautiful. I wonder, does anyone have anything else to say? If not, we can close, but if you have anything at all to share or say, we would love to hear from you right now.
I learned is that our body language can change the chemistry of our brains and our thoughts. Mm-hmm. But when we're feeling attacked, I remember a certain, my mom used to say, this is my best defense. My husband then would teach karate. He'd teach self-defense at the church for free to the community. And we had a lot of neighbor kids coming. And that was great. That was fine. And he called it Latter-day defense. And she goes, this is my defense. Thought about that. And there are some times that I've had to raise my hand to the square. And when I do that in certain sacred places, I own it. I own it as like, I counted, I heard power in the women's thing so many times. I counted it up. And it was 40.
Oh,
I love that number. It was 40 times, 29 in the first talk, I think, and then once in another talk. But 40 times, so power. I think we're being called to own that power we have been in, we've been endowed with. But anyway, my coach long ago told me, assume the power pose, Lorraine. I've got a tag still hanging. But assume the power pose. What is it? Is it this? Is it this? So when you're feeling attacked, sometimes I feel like underneath those attacks, I feel like very, what do I do? Where's my mantras? Who am I? And sometimes this is just a reset. It's just like the one Wonder Woman. It's like, you're ready for battle. It's like, okay, I'll take you on. I've earned those wrinkles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's so good.
Attacked with the same things. But what are your catchphrases? What's your comeback? He doesn't even need a comeback. He doesn't even deserve one. But whatever you think. But the physical thing, they say shoulders back, head forward, chin up, but not pompous, just up. And feet forward, like you're going places. And assuming that pose, whatever it is, hands at your side, it changes the chemistry of your brain. Everybody try. Anyway, that just came to me because of BJ sharing.
Love that, Laverne. I love that you showed us your cute new top too.
Oh, thanks. I got it for $3 at Walmart yesterday.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better.
Well, that's a good color.
It is interesting why you did that. And we were talking and you're reminding us that the body helps change the chemistry, that even to combat Satan, we are taught to raise our hand to the square, which is a body movement, which I never thought of it before. And then you think about all the things that we do in the temple. We're doing things with our body. It's pretty, I never put it together before, but that's pretty cool. Thanks for reminding us of that, Vern.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And it's
just beautiful.
I can't ever say your name.
Yeah. She's Vern. Will you share your catchphrase you put in the chat?
Oh, okay, yeah. I was being tutored by the Lord. I think he was making me a coach. He was certifying me to be a coach. And I'm like, no, can I make money doing this? Because I was going through a divorce and going to be single and I need to make money. And how am I going to leave my space, my sacred space that I love? And anyway, so it's just like all these things. So the catchphrase is, your opposition is as big as your reach. So as your reach gets bigger, your opposition will grow also. And I almost think back to Job, where the Lord says, the Lord's having a conversation with Satan. And whether it's figurative, whatever it happened. But I believe the Lord allows an increase of opposition. I just believe he allows it, even though you can enter into his rest and what used to be a temptation is just like no longer. I'm not tempted by candy like I did when I was 3 to steal candy or whatever. Just help myself to just, we grow out of temptation, certain levels. But anyway, as you can expect, and don't be afraid of it, but you can expect your opposition to be as big as your reach. You're just going to feel it. Just process with the Lord and he'll bring you through it. That's sanctification process. And then just remember, you can crush his head. You can crush opposition's head however you want to, whether it's standing the pose, whether it's get the hands, whether it's, I've earned these wrinkles and I don't see them in you. I see them in me. And my daughter says, Mom, you have such a bad self-image and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? That's because she thinks that because I have said out loud the things that he puts in my head. Why do I want to give a voice to that? Except to identify it, name it, and squash it.
That's so awesome. Oh, we'll hear from Nancy and then BJ, I'm going to turn it back to you. Thank you all. And can't wait. You must have remembered what you were going to say. Yay!
Second thought. Get honest. All of the things that we have talked about, body image, whatever, these are the things that come from the world. These are the things the world are teaching us. They're teaching our children. These are not the things that the pioneers learned. These are not the things that the prophets teaching. These are man-made, Satan-supported ideals. You get old, you get wrinkles. You get old, you get gray hair. You get old. That's okay. That's part of life. The moment you're born, you begin to die. So just accept it and love it as part of whatever. That's
part of the journey. Nancy, we need you. We need your wisdom. We love you. We love it. Okay, BJ.
Oh, thank you, ladies. Thank you for all the things you've shared. Debbie, thank you for helping to keep us all taped together and moving forward. And we'll share just a few announcements and things that are coming up so that we're all on the same page here. And then we'll see you again, hopefully next Tuesday with Karen. So we'll be wrapping up this 3-part webinar series next Tuesday. Karen will share a message, and it's always, we see Karen a lot, but it's rare that we get to have her just share a message. And so grateful for that. If you haven't registered, can use that QR code or go to staybythetree.org, and really looking forward to what Karen has to share next week. There's the QR code to make it really easy to hold your camera up too. And then also just want to remind you that we have smaller groups of women that meet each week for 90 minutes, and then they connect with each other through GroupMe all through the week to encourage and just share and inspire each other. And we would love to just point you to that. Mompowertraining.org is where you can go to just look under teams and find out a little bit more about those groups. Several women here are part of teams, and I know it's just a powerful piece of their life. And then also, we will be starting another Mom Power Training series. So if you're like me, I just register myself and think, yay, it's starting again. But let's do something. Let's raise the bar on that and not just think, yay, I'm going to sign myself up. Think of, who can I invite to this? It's a free training. It's 8 weeks. It's 8 lessons. And you can just listen to the lessons when it's convenient for you. And then we gather together to have a live discussion on Tuesdays. The next discussion will be on April 2nd. And we'll just discuss the first lesson. And the next week, we'll discuss the next lesson. And it really just will elevate the way that you think and feel and act and add some spiritual tools and truths that you might not have noticed or recognized, help you connect the dots with just your life and your circumstances and the gospel in such a beautiful way. So also, we wanted to just make sure, in case you're here and you haven't heard yet about the Mothers Who Know Spring Retreat happening on April 26th and 27th. It's 2 days. It is overnight with some casual overnight options of use one of the bunk beds or come and bring your cot and use the large gym. That's what I did last year. And we have some beautiful classes and speakers and music and food That is just such a sweet investment in yourself. So if you can make it, we would love you to come and join us. It's a little bit east of the Orem Provo area, up this beautiful canyon. This lodge is nestled right there in this Pobble Creek Canyon. So you can bring a friend right now and save.
You have a...
So anyway, we love that. Thank you so much. And then if you haven't seen this book, make sure you use that QR code to get a free e-book of Mama Trauma Now What from Karen Broadhead, with a lot of the gems and beautiful things that we talk about here in Mothers Who Know. Also, a couple of us have sons that went to this camp, Oneida, last year, and it was such a neat experience for them. It happens on July 29th through the August 2nd. And it's just a really neat place to have your sons participate and just have some fun brotherhood, adventure, skill building. You can find out a little bit more about that at camponeida.com. One of our Sons of Helaman graduates, and who's now a therapist with us, loves outdoors, has a lot of experience with scouting and leading, and put this neat camp together where young men can and take the skills and tools that are found, a lot of them in and life-changing services, and just come and use them in a fun, adventuresome way. So also one other thing you might not have known about is that the Utah Coalition Against Pornography conference will be coming up on May 4th, and you can go to utahcoalition.org to find out a little bit more about that. You can come in person, and you can also watch the live stream. And so we would invite you to check that out a little bit more. And then also, last thing, just come and find us on all these platforms, Facebook, Instagram, our podcast channel, and also on YouTube. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for being here. Nope. Can't wait for next week to see you all again. See you later.
Thank you for being with us today, Warrior Moms. I invite you to make a donation at the top of our website, mothersyouknow.org. Any amount you can afford today will help us keep Mothers Who Know services free for all moms. Thank you so much for your generosity. Moms, remember your divine identity and great worth. Continue in your courageous efforts to support God's great work. Notice the miracles you see every day, the evidence of the Savior's love and mercy. Find the message in your message. Reach out and share the principles you learn in Mothers Who Know with other mothers. You are God's secret weapon for good in this world. Finally, a few pieces of information for you. I recommend a few other podcast channels to listen to. Like Dragons Do They Fight podcast, that includes interviews and stories with those that have struggled and overcome something in their life. And the Eternal Warriors podcast, hosted by two YSA age young men who share their story, teach valuable lessons, and interview special guests. You can follow us on our social media pages on Facebook under mothersyouknow.lcs, or search for Mothers Who Know, and on Instagram, username @mothers_who_know. Last, if you would like additional support and training, please go to mompowertraining.com to sign up for the next 8-week Mom Power Training class for all moms. You can also go to the Mothers Who Know website at mothersyouknow.org, or our parent company, Life Changing Services, at lifechangingservices.org, to learn more about our excellent services to support you and your loved ones. Thank you so much for listening today. Please feel free to email me anytime with questions or to set up a complimentary 30-minute appointment to visit. Please email me at mothersyouknow@lifechangingservices.org. Looking forward to hearing from you amazing moms. See you next time.